This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's biggest bank claims President Trump's tariffs on Chinese imports can be expected to cost American families $1,000 a year. J.P. Morgan Chase out with an analysis showing the tariffs already in place have cost families $400 a year. Planned Parenthood saying it's withdrawing from the Title X federal family planning program instead of abiding by a new Trump administration rule preventing participants from referring patients for abortions unless in cases of rape and incest. A Planned Parenthood spokeswoman, Erica Sacken, says it was a difficult decision.
It's extremely concerning, and we really believe that our patients deserve to have the best medical care and information available, and this gag rule would make that impossible. I mean, we think it's unethical to keep information from our patients.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm loving my balance of nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickle, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the balance of nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, balance of nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of balance of nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
You're fired. That's what the nation's attorney general has told the acting head of the Bureau of Federal Prisons.
It's the latest development involving the death of Jeffrey Epstein, found dead in his cell in a federal facility in New York City. The attorney general, Bill Barr, firing the acting chief of the Bureau of Prisons, Hugh Horowitz, and replacing him with Dr. Kathleen Sawyer, who ran the department from 1992 to 2003 before retiring. This is the third director in 2 years to leave the agency. The job involves overseeing 122 federal prison facilities.
That's correspondent Robin Walensky. More now on the Epstein story. Word that he signed his will shortly before his death. The New York Post says the wealthy financier put his signature on it just 2 days before apparently taking his own life in that jail cell in Manhattan. It describes assets of nearly $580 million. And this is USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
A Chicago teenager now facing federal charges for allegedly making some serious threats against an abortion clinic in the Windy City. Authorities say 19-year-old Farhan Sheikh threatened to, as he put it, slaughter and murder any doctor, patient, or visitor that he finds at a women's clinic just a few miles from his home. Federal prosecutors say he was arrested after posting that threat online and now faces up to 5 years behind bars if convicted. The Defense Department says the U.S. conducted its first test of a cruise missile since withdrawing from the intermediate-range missile treaty with Russia recently. The Pentagon says the missile was launched from San Nicolas Island in California, the first ground-launched test of a cruise missile, which would have been a violation of the Cold War era treaty. And one of the great achievements in public health, as it's been seen for years, is now under scrutiny after a new study finds it may be affecting intelligence in kids. the fluoridation of water, which did succeed at reducing cavities and socioeconomic disparities in dental disease, may be linked to lower IQs in children. The study finding the fluoride exposure during pregnancy was associated with lower scores in children ages 3 to 4. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
On track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, we've got lots to talk about and get you up to date right away on. And we're going to start off with Michael Rubin, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute and former Pentagon official. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Boy, lots to cover. Let's go right to Israel right away here. Tlaib and Omar, they had an opportunity, from what I understand from Israeli officials, they invited them to, you know, hey, let's give you our side of the story here. And let us show you how well we're treating the Palestinians. And from what I understand, they rejected that. And they said, no, we just want to we want to do our own thing here. And then the next thing was we hear from Bibi Netanyahu, well, we'd rather you not come, right?
Yeah, that's basically what happened. But behind the scenes, I think Israel's well within its rights to deny them entry, although I also believe that it was unwise tactically. But in talking with Israeli contacts of mine, the biggest concern was what began as a personal visit morphed into something more. And on one hand, that's okay. But on the other hand, Tlaib and Omar were refusing to coordinate with Israeli security. And the Israeli security, look, they, for any visiting dignitary, for any visiting congressman, whatever their views, it's just standard protocol. You coordinate with the country in which you're going. Because they refused to do this, the whole trip became very, very dangerous. And they basically said, look, you have to play by the rules.
Exactly. Well, even if you're a normal citizen, Michael, the scrutiny I had to go through, you know, to be allowed in. I mean, it's not a given just because you have a plane ticket that you're going to get there. I mean, this is why Israel has been noted, because of the security, that they, you know, that they take seriously, you know, not only for the fellow passengers, but their citizens as well, because of all the attacks that, you know, randomly occur there, even still.
Well, that's absolutely true, Bill. Look, the problem wasn't with the congressman. No one really expects the congressmen are going to go off and do something directly. There was some concern about how many aides the congressman would be bringing, who they would be. If you want to avoid special scrutiny, what you have to do is deal with this in advance. And again, they were refusing to coordinate. One of the other elements of hypocrisy here, however, especially in Great Britain, to some extent in the United States as well, is during the Obama administration, the United States denied an Israeli member of the Knesset a visa to come to the United States. simply because they found that member's views to be atrocious. They believe that Israeli official was racist. At the same time, the British, as you know, have refused to blacklisted American talk show hosts for their political views as well. And so for the world, for Democrats, for the British Labour Party to signal single out Israel on this is the ultimate hypocrisy, and it reinforces what Israel says, that they are held to an unfair standard.
Without a doubt. Michael, for the audience's sake, they've heard a lot about BDS. Some still do not quite understand the BDS movement, what it's all about. Update them on that.
Okay, well, the BDS stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanction. What its proponents say is it's mirroring what happened during South Africa encountering apartheid. In reality, it's not. There's a couple problems with it. First of all, if you are sort of seeking to, first of all, the basic understanding one needs to have is that what you have in Israel and between Israel and the Palestinians, it comes down to a land dispute. There has never been an independent Palestine, and therefore what often is called occupied territories are really disputed territories. If you are going and labeling in this area of dispute that you are only going to label products made by Jews, but you're not going to label products made by Palestinians, then ultimately that is uncomfortable parallels to what happened in Nazi Germany, where you said this, where you signaled out people by religion. If you want to label by origin, that's fine. There's also the issue that, you know, you've had decades of diplomacy, and in the year 2000, Bill Clinton made an offer to the Palestinians. In 2008, Ehud Olmert, the Israeli Prime Minister at the time, actually offered to give back more than 100% of the land so that no one among the Palestinians could say they were getting cheated. And first Yasser Arafat, then the Palestinian chairman Mahmoud Abbas, rejected this. And so what the Israelis say is if the Palestinians are rejecting any offer, even one that's more than 100% of the land, if they are denying Israel's right to exist, what can we negotiate with? And the third point, and very quickly, is, you know, people say, oh, the BDS movement isn't anti-Semitic, but when you are turning a blind eye to the slaughter of 500,000 people in Syria, when you're turning a blind eye to the incarceration of more than a million Muslims in China and signaling out Israel, you know, people, it doesn't pass the smell test.
Exactly. And it's been real clear, Tlaib's position, raised Palestinian. She has the Palestinian worldview. She's made anti-Semitic statements from the floor of Congress. I don't blame Israel for hesitating on this. And, in light of what seems to be a bit disingenuous in terms of their purpose to come to Israel, you would hope that they would want to come there and, you know, discover some facts. But Tlaib is, at least from my purview, is pretty well fixed in her ideology.
Well, I agree with you there, Bill. Where I differ a little bit, you know, yeah, I agree that Israel's within its rights to deny. I think we agree that Rashida Tlaib is basically ignorant. She's ignorant to world affairs. She's ignorant to the conflict. She has absolutely no curiosity to expand beyond the horizons. She's making this trip with taxpayer money. It stinks. What I think the Israelis should have done rather than ban, however, is basically get someone like Ron Dermer. Ron Dermer, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, the son of the former mayor of Miami Beach, Florida, get him to publicly say, I'll debate you. You know, Israel has, the reason why people engage in this boycott movement is they can't win the battle of ideas. So what the Israelis should do is engage in the battle of ideas. You know, they can embarrass the heck out of Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. And by the way, Bill, I just came back from Somalia, as you know.
Yes.
I was there for the past week and a half, and one of the biggest ironies that isn't getting press in the United States is just how much Somalis hate Ilhan Omar for what she's doing and for her anti-Semitism.
Well, man on the street interviews here in the United States in Minneapolis amongst the local Somalis. I got to tell you, I was surprised at how many said, "Hey, look, we'd much rather live in Somalia." And I'm going, "Well, okay, well, this is a free country. Why are you here?"
Exactly.
You know, and in the and also the other stance was we'd much rather be under under Sharia law. Well, that's not the way it operates here in the United States. So we're going to have this tension continue until somebody demonstrates some courage to say this is the United States. And I think this is a rallying point for Donald Trump because it is about America and the sentiment, and I would say growing sentiment within this country, which really blows, you know, the liberals and celebrities on down. The line, it blows their minds that, you know, there are Americans that, you know, care about this country.
I agree. It's all about the Constitution, Bill. Yeah. That's why it's just a symptom of how broken our immigration policy.
Got to go to break. More from Michael after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This message is sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
It's your time, your call.
Hey, the fact is, we need millennials, we need everybody in this good fight that we're faced with, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get this country back on track. Fresh and independent, we are at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Michael Rubin, former Pentagon official, AEI scholar, resident scholar, continues with us. Michael, bottom line on Omar and Tlaib, do they go to Israel or not?
I think Tlaib will. She sent a letter to the Israeli Interior Ministry today saying she just wants to visit her grandmother and promising to refrain from any political activities. If she violates that, look, it's all in writing now. The question then, however, is why should the United States taxpayer pay for her to visit her grandmother? It's time that congressmen, when they just want to relax and play around, fund things out of their own pockets.
Well, here in America, her constituency seems a bit, and I'm talking about Omar's constituency specifically, seems to be bothered by her anti-American stances. I think it certainly is valid. We love the country that it is, a country of free speech, even though that is being threatened these days. And I think we're open, certainly, for representation from the Muslim community. But, well, I'll tell you, it may be a bit too far that she's trying, and too fast that she's trying to, in terms of the viewpoint of this country that she's trying to force us into. What do you think?
Well, I certainly agree. You know, like I said in the last segment, I recently came back from Somalia, and in talking to officials there, one of them said basically, look, a lot of us would like to come to America, but you look at Ilhan Omar, she's still heavily involved in her own clan's politics back in Puntland, and when the Somali ambassador to the UN in Geneva actually raised the possibility that, Somalia has nothing against Israel, Ilhan Omar, using her congressional office, called the Somali president and had this diplomat fired. And the fact of the matter is she seems much more engaged in Somali politics than actually embracing the United States for all its glory.
And Michael, you brought up something interesting before, and that is whether it's Omar, Tlaib, Presley, or AOC, there's no debate. I mean, if there was a debate of ideas, I think it would be quite interesting, but the media has been giving them a lot of cover, especially AOC. She clearly has become their darling.
I think you're absolutely right there, and that's why the media has been hemorrhaging support in the public. When you look at what people think of the media and so forth, the media has no one to blame but themselves. But again, on this, I would blame the Israelis. I would also not blame the Israelis, but I think they're missing an opportunity by having someone like Ron Dermer, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, publicly challenge these guys to a debate.
Well, who knows? Maybe that would happen. I think it's a brilliant idea. Okay, let's get the latest on Iran. The latest on the Strait of Hormuz. Where are we on this, Michael? Things have seemed to be a little bit quiet or quieting down here. So I don't know if Iran is waiting to exhale or what's going on.
Well, put it this way: one of the things we do know is that the maximum pressure is working. Even the critics of President Trump's policy and Mike Pompeo's policy say that the reason why Iran has been lashing out the way it is because they're under tremendous pressure. And that's something which, ultimately I think can continue. Some people will say, hey, look, the United States shouldn't, Mike Pompeo's 13 points demanding that Iran stop terrorism, that Iran stop supporting proxies and so forth, that's just over the top. A lot of Obama administration alumni are saying this, but what I would basically say to them is you've lost perspective if you think it's an unreasonable demand to tell a country that if they want to be accepted into the modern world, they have to stop being a state sponsor of terrorism.
I mean, that seems to me pretty academic, but that's where politics has gone here in America. It's like we've lost our mind, have we not?
We've lost our mind, but we're following Europe by a decade in this.
Yeah, amazing. It's like we saw the results there, but I guess we're going to deny the evidence, but that seems to be the case in some political circles. What about, are we losing North Korea? They're firing off missiles. Is this thing, just gone south?
Ultimately, look, you know how what I thought. Ultimately, we need to recognize that perhaps the North Koreans were never on board in the first place. One of the things that's been driving this diplomacy has been the South Korean government. The South Korean government, if you follow Korean politics, is basically sort of like Jimmy Carter on steroids. They're doubling down. They're like a gambler who thinks they can recover all their losses if they can just play one more round of blackjack, and they don't want to understand that their philosophies about North Korea are fundamentally untrue. I'll be critical of the Trump administration for following their lead in this, but that said, Trump offered a deal. North Korea basically hemmed and hawed. Perhaps they said yes, but they violated the understandings, and now there should be no confusion about where North Korea really stands.
Well, he's called the question. He called the question in China as well, and it seemed that Xi had accepted it, but he couldn't sell it back home, right?
Well, this was one of the things I wrote back my book when it comes to North Korea, my book Dancing with the Devil,
right.
American Diplomacy with Rogue Regimes, is if you look back on the history of American diplomacy with North Korea, the only real victor has been China, because dating back to the Clinton administration, we've been giving China all these goodies. We've been giving them technology for their satellites, for their missiles, and so forth. If only they would use their good offices with North Korea, the Chinese have said yes and run away laughing to the bank. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we need to recognize that these countries mean to end the post-World War II liberal order. They want to undermine, if not defeat, the United States, and we've got to stop pretending otherwise.
Exactly. Well, has Trump, in a sense, lost a little bit of leverage here because of the antagonism of the resistant Democratic Party to lead them to believe that maybe it might be to their advantage, whether it's North Korea, Iran, or China, you know, to kind of sit this out until the 2020s are over?
I think, yes. Look, more broadly, I'm not going to blame Trump on this. National security has become a political football in the United States, and it's to the detriment of the United States and U.S. national security. I just talked about Jimmy Carter, for example, in a bit of a derogatory way, but if we look back at the Jimmy Carter era, even Jimmy Carter understood that communism was bad, and when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, he and the Republicans together boycotted the Soviet Union. They boycotted the Olympics. I don't think you would have any sort of action like that today, simply because American congressmen are so morally confused. And with that, we go back full circle to Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in some sense, this is where Donald Trump, punctuates the deal, because it seems that he's going, you know, he's been pretty consistent in taking a stand on this stuff. And fortunately, we do have, you know, the strength of our energy sector, the economy. We have some positive leverage here domestically. And it does, give him as the leader, as the CEO of our country, you know, some confidence here. I mean, if we had a lousy Obama-era economy, our position for negotiation would really be weak.
You're absolutely right there. And the other thing, which I think a lot of people don't recognize, Bill, is when we look at China, a lot of people think of the Tom Friedman columns and so forth, talk about the rise of China, but because of decades of their one-child policy, granted that policy has ended, they're facing a demographic, basically, cliff, where their population is becoming older, the younger generation isn't keeping up, and because of that, they're looking at a very unstable future. Rather than talking about the rise of China, I think what Donald Trump recognizes is the conversation should be about the fall of China.
Yeah, well, and then whether it's North Korea, Iran, China, sanctions, some form of pressure, they're feeling the pressure. I mean, the streets are not quiet and peaceful. They're a bit restless right now, are they not?
They absolutely are. And again, I'll be a little bit critical of Donald Trump and his neutrality in Hong Kong. I mean, what we want to do is not, we don't want to do what President Obama did with the Iranians in 2009, where we'd be neutral, although that seems to be what Trump has been. We can use our bully pulpit, because it's in the United States' interest not to have one Hong Kong, but to have 100 Hong Kongs around China.
Without a doubt. He's a former Pentagon official, AEL scholar, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes, a must read. Michael Rubin on Bill Martinez Live. Michael, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Nearly half of all Americans know someone who's affected by opioids. But according to the U.S. Surgeon General, only about a quarter of those with an opioid addiction get the treatment they need. All too often, it is the stigma and undeserving shame of opioid addiction that forces people to remain silent rather than seek help. In an effort to address the opioid epidemic and combat this stigma, Facebook, in partnership for Drug-Free Kids and Center on Addiction, created Stop Opioid Silence, a national public awareness campaign aimed at inspiring people to break the silence and share their stories with each other, a medical professional, or family and friends. Marsha Lee Taylor is the Executive Vice President of External and Government Relations at Center on Addiction.
Our goal is to help those struggling with opioid addiction understand that they're not alone and that there are ways to find help and support.
Visit StopOpioidSilence.org and click Message for Help.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's biggest bank claims President Trump's tariffs on Chinese imports can be expected to cost American families $1,000 a year. J.P. Morgan Chase out with an analysis showing the tariffs already in place have cost families $400 a year. Planned Parenthood saying it's withdrawing from the Title X federal family planning program instead of abiding by a new Trump administration rule preventing participants from referring patients for abortions unless in cases of rape and incest. A Planned Parenthood spokeswoman, Erica Sacken, says it was a difficult decision.
It's extremely concerning, and we really believe that our patients deserve to have the best medical care and information available, and this gag rule would make that impossible. I mean, we think it's unethical to keep information from our patients.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Listening to Bill Martinez.
Live. If you want to know how far my love can go, just how deep, just how wide. If you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my hands, look at my side. If you can count the times a day, you are forgiven. It's more than the drops in the ocean.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
If you want to know.
And don't forget, most importantly, we're pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, this portion of Bill Martinez Live being brought to you by Sovereign Laboratories. They are the makers of Colostrum LD. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on their banner ad, and get back on the road to health. You know, with all the conversation here recently about the alleged cheating from the well-heeled, including Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, private schools have been at long last put under a microscope by the general public. Now, the parents indicted in the college admission scandal were responding to a changing America with rage at being robbed of what they believed was rightfully there. A new book by Gene Blasberg titled The Nine uncovers the underbelly of an elite private school, revealing decades-long corruption. She delves with unflinching precision into the chasms between parents and children. This is a novel revelatory for the author's willingness to scrutinize both mother and son and their stifling bond. And Gene Blasberg, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. The story here is
pretty typical of what, you know, we're seeing, whether it's, you know, the celebrated, you know, revelation of what happened, as I mentioned, with Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, and their children. But there's been other things that have been going on for a long time. And, you know, as we pull back and look at the underbelly of the whole college admission scandal, there's probably more to it than we're really we're hearing about, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, so I wrote The Nine long before these scandals came out, and I guess it was really inspired by the atmosphere in which I raised my own kids. They're now in their early 20s, but they each attended three different private schools, and I'm a product of public school, so I guess the experience really opened my eyes a lot, and therefore provided good material for the novel. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were things that I guess I've known, but witnessed a little closer hand in terms of preference for legacies and preference for athletes and preference for, you know, a whole sort of people who've had generations of being on the inside. And so, The book was really written to describe a situation in a high school, but within that high school, there are the parents now attending the college counseling meetings, and there are the parents who have an inside track and some who don't. And I liked trying to, you know, bang those two groups of people up against each other and describe that difference and some of that conflict.
And to your point, there are parents that want to get the upper level. They see the system, say, okay, you know, if there's advantages there, why not my kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I think that is the type of thinking that's contributed to the most recent scandals. People are looking for their own solution. I mean, whereas in the past, families would make donations to their alma maters, and that was all done with goodwill, but maybe there was an underlying understanding that this would mean things would be easier for their offspring. And, you know, for people entering the scene now without those connections in their family, they're looking for a way to get in the side door. I know that was a term that was used in this college scandal, but anyway, I do think that certain people have always known how to play the game, and now there's a new generation of people trying to figure out a way in, and those have been, I guess, more egregious assaults on kind of the way things have always gone. But it just raises the question, what are parents willing to do, and what's the underlying message to the kids? And how can we do better as parents? And do these things really matter in the end? Like, why sacrifice relationships for these external badges of success? And I don't know. Those were all the ideas swirling around in my head when I was writing the book.
Well, the bottom line of all this is, I think we learn early as kids, things should be fair, right? You know, you don't even have to teach kids about fairness. They just know if it's fair or if it's not fair. Until they get to that moment and they realize, hey, look, there's another set of rules here. And so we can look at the parents, but I look at the universities. You know, they're out there so greedy, looking for money. And so, you know, could they have, you know, maybe bought a building or, you know, contributed to the alumni in such a way that was so powerful that, you know, wink, wink, and they get them in? And how many others did it that way as opposed to utilizing, you know, some of these coaches and taking advantage of their greed? I mean, it's part of the human condition. You know, greed exists. And these universities, I think, need to do some soul searching themselves to say, look at, you know, we cannot think for a moment that it was just because of these coaches. You know, what else is within the root of the culture of this organization and this college that would allow this to, you know, to go on? And this wasn't something that had been happening for a couple of months, right? This has been going on for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. And I, in my book, I really do make the institution kind of a character as well. This academy is a place that's entitled. There's this sense of, like, institutional privilege that relates to what you just were talking about with the colleges doing some soul searching. I think our institutions are in a process, hopefully, of reckoning because so much has been exposed. But in the book, I think the institution is one of the pillars I'm trying to explore, as well as parents, as well as kids. And I think, you know, the guilty parents are getting a lot of the press, maybe because they're famous. But, yeah, it is the system that is deserving of our inspection and kind of pulling back and looking at how we've created this system that we're in a certain playing field where even if you're not going to be downright unethical, maybe you're going to, you know, pay for extra tutoring, or I don't know. There's all sorts of things you then try to do to get one up on someone else, and we're just creating so much pressure. And I think it, you know, my book is definitely written as an extreme end of the spectrum, but it's a recipe for disaster from the beginning.
Well, but look at, you know, as you said, you wrote your book before all this came out, and even probably while you were writing your book, this was happening. We just didn't, it hadn't been exposed. And you, well, you saw, you know, you saw this yourself, and you could see the trajectory, because the bottom line of all this, as we were talking about earlier, has to do with the moral fiber of the students that we are, you know, we're graduating, that we're putting into the marketplace. If they find out that they can cheat, well, then what's going to stop them from cheating once they get into the business world?
Yeah, I mean, it's really sad. It is, like, the campus novel is this, I mean, I think it's an archetypal narrative, and the campus is a great microcosm for society in general, and at this school that I've depicted, there's a real lack of leadership. So where there's a lack of leadership and integrity, and things kind of fall apart and people find the loopholes. And like you said, it's a true, you know, look under the microscope of where we are as a society, our moral fiber, what are the values that we're stressing? Is it success at all costs, or is it like just being a good person?
Yeah, maybe it's a bit arrogant, Gene, for us to. Yeah, maybe it's a bit arrogant for us to blame Felicity and Lori. You know, this is what our society that we live in. This is what we've created, and it really. I think if we're going to do something about it, we need to approach this holistically, and we're all responsible for the solution. We've got more.
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
This report is sponsored by Cooper Tires. As summer comes to an end and the seasons change, it's important to take a moment and check your tires. Drivers should always check tires when there are major shifts in temperature and before any road trips. With the busy end-of-summer Labor Day travel weekend approaching, it's the perfect time for a tire check safety moment. Jessica Edgerton, Director of Brand Development, Cooper Tires.
We encourage all drivers to check their tires monthly with a simple routine. Tires are the only part of your vehicle connecting it to the road, so it's important to regularly check your tread depth, tire pressure, and the overall condition of the tire.
Cooper offers tires for all seasons, as well as helpful safety and maintenance tips. One tip for checking the tread on your tires is by inserting a U.S. penny with Lincoln's head facing down. If the top of his head is visible at any point around the tire, it's time to replace it. Take a moment before this holiday weekend and check your tires. For more, visit www.coopertire.com. Again, that's www.coopertire.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
We're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Gene Blasberg is the author of Eden, the novel, winner of the Beverly Hills Book Awards for Women's Fiction, finalist for the Benjamin Franklin Award for the Best New Voice in Fiction, and Sarton Women's Book Award for Historical Fiction. After graduating from Smith College, she embarked on a career in finance. Of all things, finance. So you go from a left-brain career to a right-brain career, and going from numbers and all these things that are, can be overwhelming at times. And you say, okay, my left brain has been exercised enough. It's time to exercise the right side of the brain, right?
I guess that's a nice way to put it, yeah.
I always love people's career, how they start out in a certain career and things are rolling along and then and it's like a 180, right? I mean, how did you make that transition?
Well, I'd say graduating from college, I just like most 21-year-olds, I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do, but these banks were coming on campus and recruiting, and so sounded living in New York and making a good salary sounded like a good idea to me, and I went into a field that maybe I wasn't the best suited for, but I made it work and I plugged along and I worked hard and but then I moved to a big retailer, was in the Treasury department there, and then I started writing cases at Harvard Business School where I was combining kind of the business background with writing, and that's when the light bulb went off. I really like this lifestyle of writing. I like the flow of trying to communicate and express ideas with words. So when that gig came to an end, I really started going to a lot of evening adult education classes and extension school type things in the Boston area, studying more about journalism, memoir, creative writing, all sorts of facets of kind of the writing life. And then that's where I kind of got started. It took a while to write Eden. You mentioned Eden came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. That took me almost 10 years to write. And then while I was writing Eden, I started on this book, The Nine, while my kids were in high school. It was something that was just started burning up inside me. I had to, like, get this other story down. So I like to say Eden was kind of my main obsession, but mm-hmm. The Nine quickly became the mistress that was taking me away from it. And so...
So the nine became that 3 o'clock in the morning wake up call. Hey, what about me? Come here.
Well, it was more like Eden was hard. I was in this revision trying to make it work stage, and uh-huh. The Nine was new and fun, and the story was just kind of bubbling up like the first draft.
Yes.
The reason I just bring that up is that I don't think I'm the type of person to write a book in 2 years. So I just want your listeners to understand that. I started writing The Nine probably late 2012, 2013, and so it really was like 6 years in the making as opposed to what it might look like on paper 2 years after the publication of Eden.
Yeah, that is a bit unfair sometimes when you consider that, as some would say, yeah, 6 years in a lifetime because of all the experience that goes into, you know, compiling these stories. Why did you title the book The Nine?
Well, the Nine is the name of the secret society at Dunning Academy that seduces Sam and taps him and kind of invites him to finally be part of this, the world of the legacies and kind of the insider track at Dunning Academy. And even though the book is equally about this mother and the mother-son relationship, something about the title, The Nine, I think I had been reading a scene where I mentioned the secret society to my classmates in a workshop, and somebody said, you know, The Nine, that would be a cool title. And it mm-hmm. became the working title of my manuscript, and then it just really stuck. I mean, I think it is intriguing, it's mysterious, it doesn't give a lot away, but it's... In the first chapter, the second chapter of the book, you realize what the nine is, and then you're just mm-hmm. waiting to see how it's going to affect the character's life.
Is nine, did you find in your research, these secret societies, these special places for the elite, is this something consistent on all college or most college campuses?
I have no idea if it's consistent. I kind of hope it isn't, but you know, you kind of fear that it might be. I know that at the boarding schools my children attended, there were myths about secret societies, legends and myths. And so I kind of took it from there. I know on college campuses it's, you know, documented that there are secret societies, and those, you know, I might have taken a little bit of the flavor of those to describe my secret society in The Nine, but those are actually dealing with more adults. I like the idea of these 14, 15, 16-year-olds, like Dead Poets Society when they go to that
yes.
cave, or kind of mm-hmm. like a Lord of the Flies vibe going on where there's just like this inner human darkness that comes out in children. I don't know. I like the idea of a secret society at that younger age where there's a primal human connection. Anyway,
but at that age, it's not quite as, although it has, you know, it has influence and impact and effects on the kids. But you know, when you start talking college campuses, and being on your way to adulthood, it seems like some of these secret societies are, you know, a little bit more mysterious and I don't want to say diabolical or whatever, but I mean, they're more purposeful because you're sitting there, you're on the edge of getting ready to graduate from school, and here's your secret society with a handshake and this kind of cabal. An agreement that, hey, look, I'm going to watch out for you. You're going to watch out for me, not only here on this campus, but, you know, till death do us part.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that crazy? I just want to say...
I think it's crazy, maybe crazy in some regards, but in some regards, I mean, you know, what's it all about? People are they go out into business and they what do they build? They build networks. They want to be around people of influence who can help them out. So whether you do this in college or you do this after life, it seems like this is a natural inclination for humanity is to build up a, you know, a team of allies that can support them, you know, in their job and their future endeavors.
Yeah, so I totally agree. In the boarding school or in the younger ages, I think these, at least the nine that I've painted, is these kids are really caught up in the fun of pulling pranks and annoying the adults, although you learn that the strings are being pulled from above. As we get into secret societies in general, though, and you talk about secret societies on campuses, I think there's this underlying desire we all have as humans to belong. And you know, we all want to belong to something or feel that we're being belonged or we're being invited or we're accepted, we're on the inside. So the nine really explores that whole idea of being accepted. First of all, the kids and accepted to this prestigious school. But then even you'll see there are these underground fraternities that their members of the faculty want to be part of or that kind of crop up. There's all sorts of little cliques or groups. Some are formalized as societies. Some are just groups of people that cling together. And it's really interesting. You know, I think, like you said, it's something inside human beings to create networks, to create a sense of belonging, or to create exclusivity, for better or for worse. It's damaging. And, you know, we talk about making these campuses more open and diverse. And so when we have these progressive and liberal ideas about diversity and bringing all sorts of people from all walks of life onto these campuses, you know, they've got to face these decades old groups. It's like,
right, exactly.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So the system's not really, the system invites diversity, but I don't think it's entirely set up for diversity yet. And that's another thing that I wanted to portray.
Right, and you talk about this in terms of leadership. It takes leadership. It takes somebody outside of these groups to say, "Hey, we're about inclusivity, and so we want to reach out and find somebody different and be able to embrace that part within the culture of the organization." That's the opportunity, and especially today in today's America, my goodness, how diverse can you be here? I mean, we got people from all over the world coming into our country on college campuses, and I think that's a golden opportunity for learning and expansion of ideas if we know how to handle it. But leadership is responsible, like you say, from the top up. What are they doing to encourage that to where it becomes a win-win and not something that's just held amongst a very elite few, and it's maybe driven in a way that doesn't arrive at the kind of solution and the ideal you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, these are all important topics. There's a balance that needs to be created on campuses towards, you know, their admissions practices and their fundraising. I think, you know, in the end, I think there's a quote in my book, and this is nothing new. This is a quote from, it's a long-held vantage point that, you know, when you want to figure out why something is the way it is, look, you know, just trace the money. Schools have to balance their long-held development formula, which goes back to their most generous alumni and the way things have always been done, and their dependable sources of fundraising, and yet they want to espouse very diverse.
Exactly. Well, Jean, we got to leave it there.
Yeah.
Jean Blasberg, her book, The Nine, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Thank you, Jean. Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Most of you know that.